come and see what we found. This is what my two little nephews likely said when they found a few coins in my parents' backyard with their brand new metal detector. They were filled with great joy because they had found the treasure. They couldn't stop themselves from telling my parents all about what they had found. Now, what my nephews didn't realize is that they did not, in fact, find buried treasure. But in fact, my dad had just hidden a few coins in the backyard right before they went out there. They didn't quite understand what was going on. And in fact, they still don't understand it because they continue to go hunting for coins. Now, why do I bring that silly story up? Well, in our gospel reading that we just heard a few moments ago, we see that there is some confusion about who is doing the finding. I'm going to read the first few verses of our gospel reading again, and I want you to pay attention to who is in fact doing the finding here. John writes, "The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" Did you pick up on that difference? Who, in fact, did the finding? It was not Philip who had found Jesus, but rather it was Jesus who had found Philip and called him to follow. It was him of whom Moses and the prophets long foretold that had found Philip and called him to follow. And so, what did Philip do? He went on and found Nathanael to tell him all about this Jesus. We can imagine the joy and the excitement that came with Philip's news to Nathanael. We have found the long-awaited Messiah. With great joy, Philip went out to tell this news to Nathanael. And yet, Philip was faced with opposition to that news. After hearing this news from Philip, Nathanael responds, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of this tiny, seemingly insignificant town? Surely the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior of whom the prophets had written, wouldn't come from there." We can almost hear the tone in Nathanael's voice of, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But Philip, in his telling of this great news, he is faced with that pushback. I'm sure all of you can think of a time where you have faced some form of pushback when you speak the gospel to those around you. Maybe when you tell someone that you're a member of Zion Lutheran Church or St. Thomas Lutheran Church, their response is, "Zion? St. Thomas? Never heard of it. Lutheran? What's that? Is that some form of Catholics or something?" But maybe you face some other kind of opposition. And what response do you have to that? We sometimes think that we have to develop a well-thought-out speech that we're going to give in order to convince that person to come to church with us. And sometimes the thought of having to make this kind of speech makes us even think twice about speaking in the first place. Instead of this, what is our tendency? To remain silent and to avoid any mention of our church. This seems to be the easier and more comfortable solution to us, right? We're fed weekly and nourished of hearing God's word preached, and we're eating and drinking of Christ's body and blood, we are sustained week in and week out. And yet, what is our tendency? To remain silent. We think to ourselves, maybe if I just don't talk about the faith to my coworker, my friend, my neighbor, maybe I won't have to be faced with any kind of opposition. This is our sinful tendency, but our reading for tonight helps us to give an example of what our response should be in these situations. In our text, what does Philip do in response to Nathanael's comment? Did Philip have a well thought out speech to convince Nathanael that this Jesus of Nazareth is in fact the Messiah? No. Rather, he simply says, "Come and see." A simple invitation, no frills about it, and that's it. Come and see. In last week's sermon, Pastor Folks spoke about how when we proclaim the gospel in our unique vocations, whether that be at our job or even on the mountains of Mongolia, apparently, we will likely face some form of pushback. But that's okay, because we're not, in fact, the ones doing the converting here. It is the Holy Spirit who is at work through all of these things. And what a comforting reminder that is for us tonight. As Philip invited Nathanael to come and see Jesus, we too invite others to come and see. To come to the place where the gospel is preached, where the word of God is taught, and where Christ is given at this altar. And so, when Philip invites Nathanael to come and see, we then read of the interaction that Jesus has with Nathanael. After Jesus says, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael then asks how Jesus knows who he is. Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Notice that specific tree that Nathanael was at one time under, the fig tree. You see, after the fall of man all the way back in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve's eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together to attempt to cover themselves. And so some scholars point to the fig tree here in John being associated with a curse, the curse of sin that man is under. And so if that's the case, then Jesus here is saying that before Philip called Nathanael, when Nathanael was still under the curse of sin, that Jesus saw him. Nathanael was brought out from under the fig tree and now stood in the presence of the Lord, the Son of God, the King of Israel. He was called from death to life. But greater things than these were going to take place. Jesus would go on to do many other signs and miracles, many more than what were even recorded in John's gospel. He would go on to turn water into wine in the next chapter. He would go on to heal the blind, raise people from the dead, and do many other miracles. But then he would go on to Jerusalem, where he would hang upon the tree to suffer, die, be buried, and rise again on the third day for you, in order that you would have eternal life in heaven. He has redeemed you, purchased and won you from all sins, from all the sins that hang over your head, from every single sin that you and I have ever committed, from the sins that plague our minds, from the sins that nobody else knows about. By hanging on the tree, he has purchased you with his holy, precious blood, in order that you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom. And so, with the great joy that comes with this good news, we then exclaim, "Come and see who has found me, this precious treasure." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. The ushers may now come forward.